Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. And we are going to talk today a little bit about the wonderful cultural cauldron, which is our own carpinteria. And we have the artist studio tour, from April 21st to May 14th. And the exhibit reception Sunday, April 30th from 2 to 4 at the Charles Lobeau Gallery on Linden Avenue in Carp. And to talk about the studio tour today, I have the director of the Carpinteria Arts Center with me, Christina Calkins.
Good morning.
And there's Christina. And I have our old friend from Palm Loft Gallery is how I know Ted, and I've seen his work. And he's a great photographer. We have Ted Rhodes, who's the committee leader. He's a photographer. I've seen him play. He's a musician. He's an everything. He's a social activist. I mean, he's just a really interesting guy. And when I was a member of the Blues Society, I saw him almost all the time at Soho because he's the official photographer for the Blues Society. And Ted's going to talk to us a little bit, his committee leader. And I discovered a new mentor, Hal Price, and I love the books. I ordered one of them, and my dog is named Bear. Hal Price is the author of a number of best-selling children's books that involve stories about, interestingly, fathers and sons. And Hal Price is an artist. He's on the studio tour committee. He's a photographer. He's an author. And he's a motivational speaker. And it's really cool because his website has a little bit of what he talks about. Just really fun for me to listen to last night and hear, discover Hal. We're going to talk to Hal a little bit. Ben Anderson, I fell in love with his work and I'm thinking, where can I put a piece? I've got, you know, so many things that are on every wall. I'm one of these like studio hangers where you start at the floor and go all the way up to the ceiling. I can probably work in a piece somewhere. Ben Anderson with us, and the very, very interesting work, extremely interesting, water and sky, and just very evocative. So talked a little bit about Ben and his studio. And Brescia Krilovich-Logan is here. And Brescia and I have talked before because I was fascinated. I heard of her and... she's our own resident Ariadne, which is a mythological reference. And I mean it when I say our resident Ariadne, because, you know, Ariadne, not only was she the one that got out of the maze in Greek mythology by virtue of her weaving, which is sort of counterintuitive, but not really. But she also is the founder of storytelling. Because, you know, when you weave a fabric, you're weaving the narrative. So that's why Brescia, I'm calling her a resident Ariadne, and a really cool work on the website for the studio tour, I got to say. We're going to talk a little bit about, like we just said, a resident Ariadne, the creative spiral. That was fascinating to read a little bit about that. And some of the shows she's been mounting all over actually the country. Super interesting. And just beautiful work. Art is a Catalyst for Change is her project, one of her projects. And I'm fascinated by the Red Fringe more than anything else. So I want to talk a little bit about that, but I want to start the interview with Ted because he's the committee leader. We talked about this before, Ted. We were on the show a couple of times when we had the Carpinteria studio tours, and is it difficult to pull it together? I mean, somebody said, oh, well, you know, it's like cats in a pillowcase, artists all together. It's a number of cats in a pillowcase being shaken up. Is that your experience? Was it pretty easy to pull this together?
Well, I'd use a different metaphor. And in fact, in one respect, the logistical part of that, Christina and I, with Hal's help joining us this year, we don't really have a committee anymore because it's pretty straightforward what we do. Although coming out of the pandemic, we've had to kind of retool up. But because of my political experience, you know, saving the Bluffs and other things, I actually like to joke about this, and I hope the artists will forgive me because many of them are very technically inclined. But I say instead of the artist studio tour, it's the anarchist studio tour.
Did you hear that anarchist studio tour? That's wonderful.
And so I see most of the artists present here are smiling, but they understand. I mean, some are really good on the internet, and some are just so focused on their art. And I understand that the right and left side of the brain don't always cooperate. But it has its moments of frustration. But if you come down to the group show, it's fantastic. And I don't want to speak very much because it's better to hear from the artists. And Hal joining me this year is an emerging artist in terms of his work. I think it's fair to say, but a lot of good work there. And I do want to remind you that the actual tour is Mother's Day weekend. It's the Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5. 13th and 14th. It's the Summerlin and Carpinteria Artist Studio Tour. We don't have a lot of folks from Summerlin this year, but Porch, Diana Dolan at Porch is joining us with an Arizona artist that's quite exciting. So that it's nice to have some Summerlin representation there. But and we do have a reception coming up, as you said, but it might be good to actually dig in and hear from a couple of us.
Yeah, definitely. I want to hear from the artists. I want to just, if listeners are not from around our area or have a lot of exposure to the project that Ted referred to, the Save Our Bluffs, was a major, major push. And it was all through the creative community in Carpinteria. When he talks about the Carpinteria artists being anarchists, yes, there is a tradition, especially in Carpinteria, of anarchists uprising through the creative cultural community there. And I'm glad to see that the studio tours is continuing in that spirit. And may I speak, let's see, Richard, should we go to break? Now I want to talk with Hal. Well, okay, Richard's saying we have a little bit of time before our break. Hal, just a little background. We're all good storytellers he's from the South, American South. You're a wealthy tradition. We have Hal as a native of Columbia, South Carolina, and how he ended up in carpentry is, I think, an interesting story. But he comes out of complete corporate world, and was a branding expert for Fortune 100 companies. And I mentioned to my partner, I said he was representing a top-tier U.S. athlete. And I never heard of NASCAR champion Jeff Gordon. But my partner's like, oh, he was something. And he came to Carpinteria in 2015. And as Ted is telling us, he's just jumped right into the creative community. And just really super interesting that there's somebody like Hal that ends up here. And Hal, tell me a little bit, where do you create? Where is there a place in your house? Is there a studio? Where do you create?
I create when I'm walking in nature and in downtown Carpinteria. I see things. It's like God says cheese and I say snap. I walk my dog and I just take great pictures and I just take them back home and say, you know, what pictures begging to be created into something for other people to see today? And I'll put it up on my Facebook page or I'll, you know, turn it into a piece of art. And I'm still learning. I wish I had the experience and the technique and stuff that you know, Ted and Benjamin have. And speaking of walls, you don't need a wall if you buy one of Benjamin's pictures. It is a wall by itself. That is so much paint and so much beauty in one spot. I love what he does. But I just...
Okay, I got to say I'm ready for it because I have a passion. I have three murals, three WPA murals that I've saved from post offices and that sort of place, you know, that sort of where they hang. And the biggest one I have is 18 feet.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So it's 18 by 14 feet. And I maybe move the camera over so I can show you. And then the other one I have is I have to take them. I have to take a crew with me when I buy them because they're on plaster. So I take them off the walls on plaster because you can't. Oh. You can't skim them off the, but I have three of those in my little tiny 2,000 square foot condo. So if Ben works big, that's okay. I'm ready for it. So that's fantastic.
Christina's opened the doors for me to, and other people to go into the school systems to show our art, to write poems about our art, to enter the poetry contest and to kind of blend all of this creativity together. So we've had a lot of fun with National Poetry Month and looking at art and writing stories about art and talking about the loss of our eucalyptus trees during the storms and stuff and the impact that, you know, the trees and have on the planet and stories about the trees and how important they are to us and things like that. It's been a really great experience getting the first pre-K, third, fourth, and fifth graders to talk about art, poetry, and just life in Carpinteria.
I'm so glad you mentioned the trees. I think that's very interesting. The changes that we're experiencing that we're not really digesting yet.
I know.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. Richard's giving us a sign we got to go to a quick break. I want to talk with Ben a little bit. Ben, actually born in Clearwater, Florida, is kind of a youngster, but gosh, he's done Carnegie Art Museum showed him, Ventura County Museum of Art showed him, the Smithsonian has a piece in the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery of his, the list goes on. I want to know when we come back the connection with the Alaska Indian Arts Center in Haines, Alaska. I want to know about that. That is calling out right after that experience in 1998, 1997. Oh, previous to that, he was in the School of Leonardo da Vinci in Florence. Mm-hmm. So how do we get from Florence to Haines, Alaska? I mean, there's a story there, I know. So Richard, let's go to quick break, and then we're going to talk with Ben Anderson, who is, by the way, all the artists we're talking to today on the Carpinteria Artist Studio Tours happening Mother's Day weekend traditionally, and super excited because did we have one last year, Ted? Was there a show last year? No, there was not.
No, we didn't. And we had two hybrids during the pandemic, and then we just said this isn't feeling like the real tour.
That's what I thought, because I think you were on in 2019. I think. Probably, yeah. 2019 was the last show.
The last real full one, yeah.
The last real open studios tour in 2019. So this is kind of a welcome home thing. Very cool. All right, Richard, let's go to quick break. Come back from the break. Let's talk with Ben Anderson, how he got from Alaska to Florence. From Florence to Alaska.
There you go. Yeah.
Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and we're celebrating. We've had a hiatus since 2019 because of COVID, but we're back now, the Carpinteria Studio Artist Tour, and it's really interesting. There's a lot of cool artists on this trek. And what's so interesting is everybody prepares in a different way. So I talked to Ted, who is been active on the studio tour for years, Ted Rhodes, and we talked in 2019. He also got me a bunch of artists to talk on the program. And I remember asking people, how do you prepare for this? One lady says, well, I bake a lot of cookies. Another guy said, well, you know, I have to clean. I have a cleaning crew come in. We have to blast, you know, the like years of crud off the walls. And everybody's got a different way of getting the studio ready. Oh, I'm going out to buy wine today. You know, it's all, everybody's got a different take on it. We introduced Ben, whose work was first exhibited at the DeYoung Museum. He was an emerging artist in 2001, and he's been creating monumental paintings, as we talked about, for a long, long time. He was selected by Converse. I don't know if you knew this, Hal, selected by Converse for a national ad campaign as their all-star artist. And he's such a good-looking thing. So he's got to have presented beautifully on London Channel 4 TV about the Converse gig. He's had solo and group exhibitions in New York, San Francisco, Venice, Los Angeles, etc. And it says you live in Santa Barbara, but you don't. You live in Carp, don't you? Are you in Santa
Barbara?
Yeah,
I'm in Carpinteria.
Yeah.
I've been here for the last 12 years and then originally grew up here. So come back to the promised land.
So now the $60 million question, how did we get from the Scuolo Leonardo da Vinci in Florence to the Alaska Indian Arts Center in Haines, Alaska? How did that happen?
Yeah, it was a bit roundabout, but originally was in Italy doing study abroad through the City College here in Santa Barbara, and ended up staying there for a semester, studying there, and then went back and lived in Italy for about a year. From there, it was trying to find places that I could be classically trained other than in Italy. Found the Academy of Art in San Francisco, who is a very rigorous school for classical trained figurative art, and ended up studying there, getting my bachelor's degree there. And through that school, had the opportunity to go up to Haines, Alaska to study with the Native Americans up there in their totem carving. So ended up—
In their totem what now?
I studied their process of totem carving in Haines, Alaska. They have a Native American cultural center there that does quite a bit of traditional totem carving. And we got to make our own tools, work on some of the totems that were there, and then also got to go find our own large pieces of cedar and try and make our own totems while we were there. And was
what animals were on your totem?
I did a turtle, and then I got, you know, I got a little carried away and did some more abstract stuff on mine. I couldn't help myself. But the more traditional stuff was bears, eagles, ravens, all that stuff. It was amazing to be able to watch them do what they do. And the tradition is carried on for thousands of years. So to be a part of that was really cool.
So can I ask you a question? So my best friend, for 36 some odd years, I met him because he was a muralist, and I had a gallery, and he did a mural for my gallery way back when. And he's Ute from, yeah, you know, the Utah, the tribe is Ute, mm-hmm, from the Four Corners area. And so he's Ute, and he's an artist. And there are people in his tribe that say, no, if you're not of our people, you shouldn't be doing our art.
Yeah.
And us, and then he doesn't know where he stands on that issue, you know, because now he lives in Seattle, and he teaches Native American youth. So he doesn't know where he sits on that.
That's a sensitive subject. I come from a family of Native Americans, so I have some heritage from that side. But I think from my experience in Haines, it was a very open canvas for teaching youth and me. I was 21 when I went there. I didn't have any kind of negative vibes from them. They just wanted to teach anybody that was interested in the techniques. I think that, you know, getting involved in their culture more would have been possibly a bit more difficult, because they are a very kind of solid tribe up there that has so much history and a lot of struggle. So I was very grateful that they allowed me to come in and do that. And it partly due to the fact that I was already an artist searching for new techniques, you know, could have helped. They're very open about teaching how to do things and how to make tools. And I think that helps you teach people the history of your tribe, no matter who they are. You're gonna extend that history through time, just from even me talking about it now.
So you've given me the perfect metaphor to segue over to talk to Brescia when you said tribe, because I was fascinated when I was reading her website, because I mean, we spoke, I think it was 3-4 years ago at least, but she was just starting, and it was Brescia and it was another woman that she brought to the show, and she was starting a mature female encounter with oneself. And they were going out into nature, and that was her project at the time. And I see that's really taken off now. And so she's got her own tribe, and she's got her own followers too. It was fantastic to read. So that project has really blossomed. And I want to know how, well, she's got the 3 points, I guess. She's got the weaving and sharing and writing. And so when we get back, I'd love to know how that is an interplay, and what she teaches her tribe, I think would be really interesting to find out from Brescia. And, you can't see this, Richard. Oh, yes, you can. You can see us. Our listeners can't see us. We're on video, and Brescia's studio is behind her, and I see beautiful textiles hanging, and I just, that red one is really calling my name. All right. So let's get a quick break. Come back. We're going to speak a little bit about Brescia. And why we're doing this is because Christina Calkins, who is the head of the Carpinteria Arts Center, brought to my attention that studio tours are back on at 2023. And we've got the 2023 Carpinteria and Summerlin Artist Studio Tours coming up Mother's Day weekend. And just Christina, how many artists are participating? Do you know offhand?
Yes, 23 this year.
Yeah, and it's they're all up and down. They're private studios, they're public studios, they're a whole combination of things. There's people that paint out of their closets. There's people that paint out of a dedicated studio and work or weave out of a dedicated studio. Have done that for many years. So it's a whole different like enclosure experience going from house to house, studio to studio. Not to be missed, Mother's Day weekend. Don't turn that down. When we come back, Brescia's going to talk to us a little bit about what she's been doing the last 4 or 5 years since we spoke last. Don't turn that down. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. We're talking about the Carpentry and Summerlin Studio Artist Tour. That's Mother's Day weekend, 23 artists, not to be missed. And Brescia is here. She spoke with us a while back about her new project, which was getting mature women out into nature and doing a project of weaving and storytelling and getting back to nature. And I think there were 2 other women with you at the time, Brescia. Tell me about that. How's that going?
Well, I think you're referring to the Women's Woven Voices Project, which
yes.
started about 5 years ago. And the project was created to empower women through weaving, sharing, weaving, writing, and sharing their stories. And the goal of the project was to engage 1,000 women from around the globe in being able to share their story in an abstract woven story cloth, is what I call them. And I had been doing workshops and gathering those up and stitching them together. And last year, we reached the goal. 1,000 women from 10 different countries wove their stories. And since then, it's been all about sharing the tapestry. So you can kind of see this little poster behind me. This was from the first gallery down in Carlsbad that showed all thousand of the story cloths. But I do want to say that the Carpinteria Arts Center was really pivotal. They during the pandemic, they helped me to, or you know, invited me to participate in their program of giving out free art supplies to the community, so that during the pandemic, people could be creative and making art. And Christina allowed me to hand out little kits for weaving a story cloth. And we gathered up about a couple of dozen community members from Carpinteria and from the Art Center, wove their stories, and I stitched them into a panel for the tapestry. And then the Carpinteria Art Center actually displayed the tapestry for a month or so. I think it was it two summers ago. So that really helped launch the project. And currently the project just travels. This summer it's going to go to Chicago. It's going to be displayed at the Women's Village at the World Parliament of Religions in Chicago. So it there's about a predicted 10,000 people from all over the world coming to talk about human justice and dignity. And the tapestry will be there to share the women's stories.
Okay, so describe that. Yes, so there's little separate panels.
Yeah, so basically, the weaving technique is this very simple technique where you weave on little soda straws. It's so simple that I knew that I could, you know, that I could teach anyone. So on my website, womenswovenvoices.com, there's little tutorial videos, and it shows you how to set it up, how to weave. There's writing prompts, there's meditations, there's all of these things to help women to really mine their inner strength and to hopefully feel that they're a strong woman. And the whole idea was that in the face of the inequity, violence and abuse that women experience around the world, you know, women can take charge and be change makers. They just have to tap into their inner sources. And weaving is one of those things where you do this meditative, repetitive process, and it really helps you to tap into your intuitive self. So that's the idea. And then we talked about, you know, right brain, left brain. So writing also, so that you come at it both ways, to basically self-awareness and self-reflection and claim that power, So yes.
Like I said, resident Ariadne. So and you know what's so interesting about that myth in regards to what you're telling me, Brescia, is, you know, Ariadne also is the goddess responsible for spiders that have both sides. They're the Kali figure, right? So they're the both sides, the female energy that can kill you.
Yeah. It's very powerful. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Black Widow, that's, you know, that's the Ariadne's little pet. So, you know, you have the both sides, that female. It's so interesting. I'm so happy to hear this, because I remember when the project was taken off, somebody told me about you. I can't remember, but I thought I got to speak to Bressie about this. It's fascinating that this project has now gone on. How many women participated in the Creating Meaning project?
I have over 1,000 story cloths in the tapestry, but over the last 6 years, I did workshops with women veterans, with teens at risk for sex trafficking, with university students, with women's groups, with arts groups, with men's groups, at museums, and so many more thousand people participated in the workshops and did the weavings. Not everybody, you know, once they finished the weaving, they had to send it to me to stitch it in. So I know that there's many, many out there who had an experience with it, but the tapestry is it's about 170 feet long, if you can imagine that. So it takes up a room for sure, yeah.
Just a quick question, how is it displayed? How is it displayed in Carlsbad?
Yeah, I have little stands that are metal stands that freestanding. So I can set it up just about anywhere. It was great. I set it up into the Robinson Studio in Carpinteria. The community got to experience it there, and I can pop it up and display it just about anywhere.
That's fantastic. That's just really cool to hear. Just really cool to hear. So glad that I reconnected with you. You know what I'm going to do? First of all, Ted's asked me to have Christina talk about what's happening at the Carpinteria Arts Center. Before we do that, that's how we're going to close out the show. But before we do that, I want each of you, I want Ted to ask a question of Benjamin. I want Benjamin to ask a question of Brescia. I want Brescia to ask a question of Hal. So the four artists here, I want everybody to prepare a question, for your fellow artists here. And we'll have a quick segment before we go to our last break. And then Christine is going to wrap it up by telling us what's happening at the Carpinteria Arts Center. Richard, let's go to quick break. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Carpinteria Arts Artist Tour, Mother's Day weekend. 23 artists. Don't miss it.
Who am I asking the question?
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, Carpinteria Studio Artist Tour, and we're having a round robin of questions. Ted is asking Benjamin a question.
Yeah, and I'll preface it by just saying, you know, as a photographer, I seem to be all over the map in terms of what I photograph, so it's hard to pigeonhole my art, which I sort of see as a weakness or a difficult thing to brand. And with your art, Ben, you seem so focused on water, figures, sparkling light, and maybe transferred into nature with stars and so forth. But what has led you to that as your primary subject? And are you sometimes tempted to go in a completely different direction?
Good question. Yeah, I'm always tempted to go in different directions. I think that's the beauty of being an artist, is that you are just creative. Having said that, I've spent my whole life in water. So whether that's in a pool or surfing or swimming in the ocean, and it's always been an inspiration to me, just beyond just visually, but also just being in it. So it's been a constant source of inspiration for my work. And as I paint, as I keep going, you know, using water as that kind of tool, it's just never ending how it changes for me. I mean, it abstracts everything when you put it in there. So, I mean, conceptually, it has that. It's, you know, it gives life. It takes it away. It does so many things. So, yeah, it just seems to be a never-ending kind of source for me to make art. So, good question.
Even in times of drought, that's great.
And we know it'll come.
Ben, ask Brescia a question.
So Brescia, I know as artists, we all have these little things we do during the day in our studios. I always have a cup of coffee and start playing music before I get into it. Do you have any quirks on your studio days?
I have lots of quirks, but I'll tell you, I have this one technique that just to start the day, it's a list of 10 things. So a lot of times you go into the studio, there's lots going on, and to get the ball rolling, I'll just do 10 things, and it can be the easiest things, like, oh, I just need to like move this from off the table over here. Oh, I need to set something up, and I go around and I do these 10 things, and then it just like totally puts me into the zone of working and getting started. So
that's great. It's like locomotion. You just got to start somewhere.
It's a good question. Yeah. All right. So it's my turn to ask Hal. Hal, you know, in my bio, I would describe myself as a champion for women. And I was delighted to hear that you wrote books that have the theme of fathers and sons. So I don't know, I haven't read them, and I would like to know about that. So as a champion of fathers and son relationships, please tell me a little bit about that and what it means to you.
Yeah, I just went, but thank you for your question. I went back and thought of those moments where I was hurt by my father on something that I had done. I wanted him to acknowledge me or to come to something. And I'm like, you know, I need to help kids understand there's two sides of a coin. It's like our Father loves us no matter what, but they can't come to everything that we do. So I wrote a story called The Bare Essentials about a father who had to go on a trip and he couldn't come to his son's assembly to see him win a spelling bee contest and stuff. And the kids all relate to that. I just read that story yesterday in one of the classrooms and they all could relate to it. So thank you for that. And what I love about you, Brescia, is I get to pass you on the bluffs every now and then when we're exploring our creativity. It's always fun to see that.
It's great to have a dog.
All right. So Hal's asking Ted a question.
Yeah, Ted, I see your passion in so many things, but I was really touched by the story you began to tell last night because I love the bluffs. But your family heritage with why I'm able to still walk the bluffs and take pictures of those beautiful eucalyptus trees and all the great scenery of Rincon. Tell me a little bit more about your family's connection with the bluffs.
Well, their connection was because of my involvement here. And I think one of the reasons I moved back up to Carpinteria, well, I have longtime connections with this area, with my friends, the Isingson family that have a cattle ranch up near Lompoc and San Julian, but I felt such a lack of power in when I was living in LA, and I did want to come up, and I've always been concerned about overdevelopment of California and the loss of our rural spaces and you know, the San Gabriel Valley. You know, and I grew up in Pasadena, and Orange Grove Avenue, you know, it's named after orange groves that no longer exist, as Arturo Tejo. And I often say, you know, we name developers name their developments for things that go away. Like you have Fountain Valley, or you have the only honest one I think is down by Calabasas, where they call it Lost Hills. But the bluffs kind of sees me as an issue that I was involved in for a long time, since 1988, a lot of political work, and then we had the opportunity to buy it, and I ended up kind of spearheading that effort along with the help of 3,000 donors and public agencies. But my family joined in that. My grandparents really had a love of the outdoors, as did my parents. And so my family joined in that effort and raised a portion of, you know, like I think it was $75,000 to have a naming opportunity. So the painting that you were looking at, that you did, actually it was your photograph or painting, I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. But
it's of the Rhodes Fleming family trail that goes through the bluffs. Mm-hmm. And so it was really my family supporting that. But
that's isn't that cool? It's just we learn so much about each other just with a short little clip. You know, Richard, do we have another break necessary? Hey, Richard.
Yes, Elizabeth.
One other break necessary, or can we just go?
Yes, ma'am. One more break.
Okay, when we get back from the break, Christina Calkins, who's the Carpinteria Arts Center director, is going to tell us what's happening at the Carpinteria Arts Center before we go. So quick break, and then we're back with Christina. Don't turn that down. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I have just been having a ball speaking with a wonderful artist. Carpentry is such a cultural hub. Ted Rhodes and Hal Price, Brescia Kralovich Logan, and we have Benjamin Anderson with us today. And now we're going to switch gears a little. Christina Calkins, who's the head of the Carpentry Arts Center. I want to know, Ted said, I've got to ask Christina what's happening at the center. So maybe Ted and Christina, talk amongst yourself and tell us what's happening at the Carpentry Arts Center.
Okay, certainly. Our mission is creating a vibrant community through the arts. And this next month is a perfect example of all the different things we have going on. And it's all around the Carpinteria Summerlin Artist Studio Tour. For the next 3 weeks, the public can come into our gallery and see 23 different artists, examples of their work, and they are for sale, but it's like an appetizer. And your main course can be on Mother's Day weekend, both Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5, where after visiting our gallery, you can choose which artists you want to meet. You look at the art in our gallery and then get to go out to the studio and have a very intimate experience in these studios, which often you walk through people's personal gardens, their homes, you hear the story of the artist and what inspires them, and then you're connected to their artwork. And during this whole month and a half long, we have lots other things going around this gallery exhibit. We have a volunteer fair this Saturday at 2 o'clock, and there's 16 different nonprofits from our community coming together around the art and sharing about their nonprofits. And then the very next day, an international food fair put on by 3 Rotary clubs in our courtyard. And all these people are surrounded by this incredible art. That's my favorite part about art, is how it connects people and it stimulates more creativity and all the different ways we can express art. This month is National Poetry Month, and we have a poetry contest going on, and Hal Price has been visiting children in the schools, inspiring them through his photography and creating poems with them. And the deadline to enter is the end of April. And then on May 13th at 2 o'clock, we're gonna have poetry awards and readings and an open mic, and that is the same weekend that you can visit studios. So a great weekend to come out to Carpinteria. And then May 7th, a Saturday, we have an arts and crafts fair where our entire courtyard is filled with local artisans selling their wares. We're really trying to support all type of artists, the emerging, the young, the seasoned ones. And we're going to end all the celebrations on May 20th by kicking off our free concert series at 6 p.m. We're gonna have the band Nombres play. And this is a free concert in our community, open to anyone. And it's the first of 6 concerts. We'll do one a month for the next 6 months. So I invite everyone to come down, and you can view all the artwork on our website, which is carpinteriaartscenter.org. And you'll notice there's an S in that. And that S is extra big to us because we want to make sure that we're representing the culinary arts, the written arts, of course, the visual, the performing. You can find it all here in small Carpinteria, one of the best small town beach art communities around. Of course, I'm a little biased. Love living here. It's such a joy to be surrounded by so many creative people passionate for our community. And we have a public reception for this exhibit on Sunday, April 3rd from 2 to 4. And you'll be able to come down and meet a lot of the artists during that reception also.
Christina, April 30th, not 3rd.
Yeah, April 30th.
April 30th.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We cannot time travel yet. Add a zero to that. April 30th on Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. in the Charles LeBoux Gallery here at the Linda Fairley Carpinteria Arts Center.
And I'm happy to.
So I would encourage everybody to come to that April 30th event. And the reason being is because that's a perfect time to take your maps out and say, I want to visit these studios, and because you'll see the work, and then you'll say, well, I'm really interested in seeing these pieces. And are they going to be for sale, Christina?
Yes, yeah, they're definitely all for sale. And at the back of our Charles LeBoux Gallery, we have the Robinson Family Studio, where you'll find works of Ted Rhodes' travels to Italy and Cuba, and Hal Price's adventures here up and down our California coastline.
You know, we're cheating this year and doing our studio right in the in the gallery. So
that way they're there to answer any questions about the tours They're great representatives of all the different artists, which is a wide range. We have a couple ceramic artists you can visit. Tamara Thompson actually works with seaweed. That's a different type of art. We have another artist that works with textile, Susie Anderson, a lot of mixed media there, and a bonsai tree artist. I'll let you in on a secret. He has an incredible assortment of teas. So when you visit his studio down at around Palm Loft Gallery, you will be treated to also a delightful tea assortment. We have photographers, modern artists, classic landscapes, watercolor, oil. You're in for a treat coming to the Carpinteria Summerlin Artist Studio Tour.
Just before we have to leave, can we, Christina, the price ranges of the works of art?
Yeah, we actually have a piece of art for $3. The crafty ladies have hand-sewn greeting cards in our studio, and I believe our pieces go up to about $10,000. We have a landscape by Arturo Tello.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all, and good luck on the studio tours, and don't clean too much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Elizabeth.